It's Deuteronomy 29:29. If someone wants to shout out a page number, that would be very helpful. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. What's that, Duffy? 208. Deuteronomy 29:29. Now, who has a relative or a neighbor or perhaps a friend that you don't really like? They have a relationship with you, but you don't really relate to them that well. You know they're there, but you kind of don't ever see them or visit them that much. Who has a relative or friend like that? I know more of you do. Well, I certainly do. And the Old Testament is a little bit like that, if we're really honest. We love the New Testament, and there's so much truth and so much power and so much amazing wisdom released in the New Testament, but that's true of the Old Testament as well. And this passage, actually, if you struggle with the Old Testament, this one passage sums up the Old Testament in one verse. So let's read it out. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Read that once more time. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that scripture before, if you've even read Deuteronomy before, or if you've come across even that chapter, but Deuteronomy is quite a difficult book to read, but this single passage speaks of God's kingdom in the Old Testament. It speaks of the understanding what we see in the New Testament, but it reveals it in the Old Testament. Now, we need to go through three verses within the context of the other chapters just to really understand what's happening here. Look at 29. Let's start at 29:15. I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today, i.e. you. So this in Deuteronomy is the idea of God making a covenant to his people. It's the idea of God making a promise of salvation to his people. But there is a warning. Look at 29:25. And the answer will be, it's because this people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, the covenant he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. So here we have the promise of God's covenant. We have the issues where people have strayed, i.e. the children of Israel have strayed from the covenant. And then we see God's promise of restoration. Look at chapter 30, 19 to 20. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I just wanted to pick those three verses, because within those three verses is this passage, Deuteronomy 29:29. It's the meat, if you like, within the sandwich. It's the kind of fleshy stuff within the sandwich. And what does it speak about? It speaks about an inheritance. It speaks about an inheritance that we have received. It speaks about the sovereignty of God, i.e. the secret things of God, but it speaks about the things that he has revealed to us. So I'm going to break it down into three sections. I want to look at what exactly it means and understand the secret things of God. What does that mean in this context and in our context? In this idea of inheritance, what is revelation? What does revelation mean? It's bandied around so much in the church today, but what does that mean? And finally, the idea that it belongs to us. That God has chosen human beings to partake in his inheritance, this wonderful inheritance, but also to pass it on. To pass it on to our families, to pass it on to our children, to pass it on to those outside. So the first thing is the secret things of God. The writer of Deuteronomy makes it very clear that the secret things of God belong to him and him only. In Isaiah 55, 8 to 9, it says, "My ways are not your ways, says the Lord." And I think if we're really honest, we struggle with these things. We struggle that there's a way that God has for us that we don't understand, that we don't know, that we can't perhaps see the way ahead sometimes. And I know even with you guys here, speaking to many of you who are struggling with issues of your jobs, issues of your relationships, issues of sickness, and it's the idea of not knowing what lies ahead. These secret things belong to God, and we ask questions and we say, God, why won't you reveal these secrets to us? And we come back to this understanding, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. I have a young son, Ethan, as many of you know. He is 2.5, and he's a great kid. I've used him in a lot of illustrations. He's beginning to charge royalties at this stage. But there's one illustration that I've really been struck at the moment. He's loving to ask questions at the moment. Oh, he's in that phase of, Daddy, the plane flies in the sky. Why doesn't Noddy's plane fly when I let it go? And I'm kind of like, okay. He's asking all these questions over and over again. Why this? Why that? Why this? And that's actually very healthy, because there's an understanding of a two-way process where he asks, and when I can answer him, at a level he can understand, I give him the answer. And that's the same with us. There's different levels of revelation and maturity that we're at where we can understand what God is doing. I was a little bit like Ethan when I was growing up. I used to ask questions all the time, really, really annoying questions. And my father tells me of the questions I used to ask. I'm not going to go into them now, but he gave me a book called Tell Me Why, which have 10,000 answers to the questions why. So I'm going to pass that on to Ethan now for Christmas. But, you know, I do have answers for Ethan. And I can ask questions with him, and we can discuss things, but sometimes I don't have the answer. And that's the same with God, in that when we ask him a question, sometimes we don't get the answer that we want, or sometimes we feel we don't get an answer at all. And it's that tension of being able to live in that understanding that God is sovereign. There's a secret, a capacity to God's nature that he holds on to these things. And that is that tension that we need to exist in. But actually, you know, it's better that way. And you're saying, why is it better that way, Rob? Because if we had a God who didn't hold on to these secret and sovereign things, this God who wasn't omnipotent or all-powerful, what would be the point in believing in him? He'd become just another big brother in the world today, where we just look for something that we can hang on to for a few weeks, a few days or a few months. Jack said a few months ago, he talked about the kingdom of God, and he says, we like to do the hokey pokey in the kingdom of God. We like to put our left foot in and our left foot out, our right foot in. I think sometimes we do that because when we struggle with this idea of not getting the answers, we take a step back, and actually that's understandable. But God is calling us to take two steps forward and to go deeper into these things, deeper into this place of dependency on God and not on ourselves. So what do we do in these situations? What do we do with the God who says, I am sovereign, I am Lord, I have the answers, and there's some things I will not give you answers to questions. What do we say to him? We just have to hand them over. And there's also theological questions and theories of, you know, how we do that or why we do that, but sometimes you just have to hand them over. As I was preparing this passage for months, this morning a friend of mine rang me. He's a 27-year-old guy, and he's just about to get engaged to a friend of his in Singapore. He's known for a few years, and she just developed a severe ovarian cancer. And they were just excited. They felt God called them together to get married, and called them to have a family and have a children together. And next thing, she has to get her ovaries removed, and they're getting married in 2 weeks' time. And I said, what's God saying to you at the moment? And not knowing I was speaking tonight, he said, Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong to God. I just thought, what humility and what kind of servitude that was. And that's not easy to hand them over. But Jesus said it in Matthew. He says, just my yoke is easy, my burden is light, hand it over. It all comes down to understanding, and this passage, when it comes to inheritance, that there's a secret element of God's nature that will be revealed to us in heaven, but at the moment we're called to trust and dependency on God in all situations in order for his kingdom to advance both in us, in this church, in the city. And that's where revelation then comes in. Paul says that we do understand that God is secret, but yet we do see in part. And Paul talks about how do we see in part. He talks about revelation. What does the word revelation mean to you? If I said revelation, I'm not asking you to answer, but what would you say if I said revelation to you? Would you think of the book of Revelation? Would you think of the TV program, Revelations? You see, the concept of revelation in the Bible is that it's not that something isn't known. It's rather that God chooses to reveal to us what is already known. So, for example, if I said to Marcelo down the back there, Marcelo, you have a bank account with 2 million euros in it. He would get very excited and he'd go out and buy us all a holiday, I'm sure, or bring us all to Brazil. But that, would you, Marcelo? This bank account already existed. And it was always there. It's just Marcelo didn't know about it. And that's the same with God's revelation. There is a stream of truth that flows from God's throne that exists from the time of Adam to the time when Jesus will come back and everything is brought to fruition in revelation. A stream of truth. And we dip into that revelation. And how do we dip into it? Well, we dip into it by reading God's word. We dip into it in creation by walking around and seeing the things, beautiful scenery, and we feel the power of God. But the third way, which the writer is speaking about here in Deuteronomy, is revelation that comes from the prophetic. And we touched on that already in the service today when, actually my eyes closed, but Shan came up and someone else came up. And that's us tipping into the prophetic element. It's the idea of revelation. We see it in John chapter 4. Where the woman is spoken to by Jesus, pure truth, revelation. And revelation cuts through all the dross and it brings the truth there and then. One of the most profound points of revelation I've ever had in my life was when I was asking God, what should I do? I'd been a Christian about 2 years. I felt I was being called to leadership. I prayed the prayer. I said, God, will you tell me by name what it is you want me to do? And I prayed that prayer. The next day, I was working in a company called Quilche, and I was organizing a big presentation for kind of members of the government here down in Westmeath. And I had to sit down with the local councillors and ask them about the guest list, who needs to be invited and all that sort of thing. At the end of the meeting, I asked the councillor, I said, Councillor X, just a matter of interest, who is the local Church of Ireland minister? And he turned to me and says, oh yes, that's Reverend Rob Jones. And I was like, excuse me? He says, yeah, Reverend Rob Jones. He's kind of new to it, but he's a wonderful minister. And I just, for God's sake, that point of revelation, this is what I want you to do. And I was like, wasn't so much concerned with the Rob Jones, with the Church of Ireland bit that really, really struggled me. I was like, are you sure he's Church of Ireland? But so revelation cut through, but you know what? I prayed again. I said, God, I really struggle with it. And I said, will you give me another revelation of truth? The next week, I was working in a kind of a thing called Fresh we used to do here out in the local pubs. And I was handing out flyers. And I came up to this guy and handed him a flyer. And he was working sort of street evangelism, sort of outreach stuff. And I got talking to him and he was saying all the things he wanted to do for God's kingdom and how he was a leader and all these sort of things. And I said, what's your name? Rob Jones. I was like, okay, you're calling me God. So that's an example of revelation. And I know when you're listening to these things, you're like, how can that happen? But I know talking to you guys, these things do happen. As the revelation of God that flows as a stream is what we need to jump into. And we saw it in the hothouse 2 weeks ago here on that Monday night. I haven't experienced revelation like that in a long, long time. It's like these band of prophets came in. It was like in 1 Kings when Saul was to be anointed as king and Samuel says to him, look on the hill, all these prophets are going to run down and anoint you. And we kind of opened the door and this happy bunch came in and with, what are those things called, chauffeurs? Yeah, blowing the chauffeurs and all sorts of things. But they spoke such amazing truth that I really needed to hear and other people needed to hear. And it just cut through. So we have the idea of God being secret, an understanding that we need to let go of our own dependency and focus on him. But secondly, we have the idea that God reveals things to us. He reveals the nature of his kingdom and he reveals this inheritance to us. You see, it belongs to us. And if something belongs to you, you have a choice. You either use it or you don't. A few weeks ago when I was speaking on the kingdom, I was talking about if we gave you a 5-euro note, you have a choice to just keep it in your pocket or to give it away. It's the same with the inheritance that God's given you. You have a choice to hold on to it or you have a choice to give it away. Now Jesus says in Luke 8, Matthew 13 and Mark 4, he talks about this idea of revelation has been given to us, the secret things have been given to us to share to other people. So we've been given this amazing job, if you like, to share these things with the world outside, to share this revelation, to share this inheritance with those who are outside. But also, it belongs to us, but also belongs to our children. And this is the bit that really excites me about this passage. This is the bit that really gets me going. There's the idea, the kingdom idea of inheritance, that is passed on from father to son, from mother to daughter. It's passed on from each generation to generation to generation, or it should be passed on. You see, it was never meant to be momentary. It was never meant to be just echoes in the past. Rather, it's a stream. It was always meant to be a stream. And we see that again in the Gospel of John when Jesus talks about the stream of living water that flows continually from the throne. And when we hear this word revival, it's bandied about all over the place. But have you heard the stories of the Wesleyan revivals in the 18th century and the 19th century, where they used to come along to villages and they used to say to the towns, used to write to them, and they used to say, when you're coming to hear us preach, don't get up into the trees. And they said, why is that? Because when God's presence comes, you're going to fall out of them. But they still climbed up into the trees and they still fell out of them. But what happened after those Wesleyan revivals was that that generation held on to what already existed there, and then the generation after that forgot about it. Then the generation we're in have forgotten what it means to exist in that understanding of flow of revival. And I remember even in this church, amazing things happening 8 or 9 years ago, and how we held on to that siege mentality. So we have this passage, the secret things belong to God. God is sovereign. There's a case of dependency and just leaning on Him. Second, we have the idea of revelation belonging to us. That God has asked us as children to engage in His kingdom purposes. All you here tonight have that promise to engage in His kingdom purposes. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. The power of the talents. I have given you these things. What are you going to do with them? But also, they belong to our children as well. And we have this priority to pass it on. And that's what we saw in Pentecost when Jesus passed on His Spirit. He passed it on to the disciples. He passed it on to those He wanted to move in this prophetic anointing and move in the power of this kingdom. And for me, when did it happen? I just want to actually close with this, and I want to just go into a time of prayer. And I was kind of debating whether I should share this with you, but back in 1999, when I kind of became a Christian, my mother, she died of cancer, and I know I've shared this story with you before, but I've never really shared the moment of passing on from mother to son. And I was sitting on the bed, and the weeks before, I was sharing stuff from the Bible with her, and she just kept saying to me, I know these things, Rob, do you? And I didn't know them. And she died, and I was sitting beside her, and my father and all my family were there, and my dad was, all I can explain is, prophetically praying beside the bed. I wouldn't say he was a Christian, but he prayed for 2.5 hours of things I've never heard before, and he didn't even know what he was praying, just all different languages and words and pictures. And but I remember holding on to my mum's hand, and she died, and this power came into me. Just all I can explain, even now I feel it, this power just came into my body, and I knew my life was radically different from that point. And yes, I had to work it out in fear and trembling. Yes, I had to realize what it meant for me. Yes, I had to work on my character. Yes, I had to struggle with all the issues. But at that moment was the passing on. It belonged to my mother. She was a Christian, but she passed it on to me through this spiritual moment of just passing on an inheritance. And if I could say anything tonight, this wonderful inheritance is meant to be passed on to us. It's meant to be passed on and shared in the power of God's kingdom with us, for us, to us, to be shared in this community, in this church, in this city, in this nation. It's the pearl that is so valuable that you all have, that we all have, that has been given on to us. And when I'm feeling tough or feeling tired, I hold on to that time when I held my mother's hand. I hold on to it, and I even remember it now. She didn't say anything, but I hold on to it. And what moments do we hold on to? That idea of kingdom transfer, of revelation, that power, that wisdom, that inheritance that is passed on in the spiritual. How do we hold on to that? And I know when I'm speaking about these things, there's all sorts of emotions going on. It's really important to land these things and to land them in a practical way. But it can feel like an uncomfortable feeling within you, I think, and confusion maybe, or what does that mean for me? And I was listening to a guy recently. He was telling, when you hear of such passages like this, it's like this story. There was a guy who was sitting on the porch. He was an old American guy. Excuse me if you're American, I'll try and do an American accent in a second. He was stroking this cat, big old cat. And this young fellow beside him was sitting there and he says, "Pops, you're stroking that cat the wrong way." And, you know, you need to start stroking it the right way. And the old man says, "Nope, that cat needs to just turn around." And I think there's a turning round that needs to happen, a continuous turning round that needs to happen in our lives, in our church, in our relationships, a constant turning around. Because when God brings these things up and the understanding of inheritance and the sovereignty of God and revelation, there's a turning around that's required. So if you are taking notes, if you want to see the stuff in the New Testament, repeat it almost word for word. Look at Ephesians 3, 9 to 12. It's almost exactly the same as Deuteronomy 29:29. So I want to finish with a clip. And Marcelo's going to line it up there. And you've all seen this clip. It's from The Matrix. It's been used many times in churches. But put yourself in Neo's position and let God remind you of the inheritance that you've been given. Let him remind you that you are called to be countercultural. You are called to do amazing things by his power and his grace, to love people so much that they turn around in their lives, to share his good news. So just let God speak to you, and then we're just going to move into it.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. Follow me.
Hey, Clark, are we online?
Almost.
So I'd love to go on and show the whole thing, but I know, yeah, popcorn at the back. I guess I just wanted to show that clip because it just really resonates with me and with us, I think, a reminder of the choice, the kind of parallels between the Matrix and the world that we live in is very evident, I think. The struggle that we have in being Christians in a world that doesn't know the truth, but called to share that truth. The struggle of daily having to be countercultural, the struggle of daily having to offer back in that sense of inheritance and understanding that God's revelation is to flow through us. So what I want us to do very purely and simply is just to pray, and I'd love to pray for people who do just want to take that red pill again, if you like, just that sense of just making a choice again. And also particularly, I know I've been talking to some of the younger guys recently just about the idea of being filled with God's Spirit. I've taken that for granted, actually, because it happened to me about 4 years after I was, 3 years after I was a Christian. But it talks about, Paul talks about, you've been baptized in water, but have you been baptized in the Spirit? And Jesus also talks about that. So I would love to pray for you to receive God's Spirit, or to even talk about that if you haven't heard that, or perhaps it's stirring you. And thirdly, I just want to pray for this church. And I know there's a stirring, and there's all sorts of infrastructural things that are going on which are so exciting, and people being raised up. I just want us to pray really fervently for this church and for outpouring of God's revelation and a passing on of that inheritance. So let's stand together and let's pray. Firstly, I just want us to pray for the church. Tim, if you could come up maybe just on your own, just play the guitar there and just begin to really pray and offer ourselves to God afresh. Lord, I know in these ministry times, after hearing a talk, and for many of us the end of a week, it can be a sense of not wanting to, or maybe just being too tired to engage, but just help us, God, to engage with you now. Lord, stir up our spirits, God, not by might or not by power or not by my words, but just by your Spirit, stir us up, God. We pray for this church, Lord. We just pray for this church, God. We release it into the calling and release it into the wonderful inheritance that you have for it, God. We pray for it, Lord. We pray for John, Lord, and for Catherine. We pray for all who are involved, all the people, Lord, who are here as part of the church. Maybe you might just begin to pray for that in your own way. Pray for revelation or more of God's Spirit, or maybe personally for you just to get involved more, whatever it is. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to pray. We thank you that the secret things belong to you, but you have revealed things to us that we have a responsibility with. Lord, help us to share those things with our children and share them with a world that is broken. Just release your Spirit in a fresh way. I just want to call people forward at this stage, actually, who just want to receive that fresh touch of God's Spirit. We do this up the front, not that really it makes any difference from where you're sitting, but it's more a stepping out helps you to make that decision, like Leo made the decision. So if you want a fresh touch of that Spirit, just come forward and we'd love to pray with you. If you just want to come forward, yeah, and we'd love to pray with you. And also, just the idea of the baptism of the Spirit, just love to pray that with you as well, just that God would pour out His Spirit upon you, and an understanding of this inheritance would be great. So do feel free to come forward if this is new for you. You don't have to do it by any means, but just God loves to work with His people, and He loves to just pour out His Spirit. I know it, because He just loves us so much. So if you do want to receive that Spirit, just come forward and we'd love to pray with you. Yes, Lord, just begin, continue to play there, Tim. Yeah, just the ministry team, if you come forward. I'm just going to corporately pray, actually, and then we're just going to start praying individually with people. So we just want to start doing that individually as well. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We know that this passage is complex, and we know that there's a lot of truth and understanding of revelation, but we thank you for what you've spoken to us. And Lord, you said, all who are thirsty, ask and you receive. Knock and the door will be open. So just open your hands if you're in the front here, and just, Lord, I just pray by your Spirit that you would just reveal your truth and your Spirit to these people. Outpour your Spirit, streams of living water, God. Streams of living water, like when Jesus stood on the steps in that fateful day when he poured the water down the steps. And he said, streams of living water. My water will never run out, Jesus said to the woman at the well. All those who drink from my water will never thirst again. So Lord, just by your Spirit, will you fill these people? Fill them, Lord, for your glory and your purposes, but also for a hungry and dry people who are in need of a fresh touch of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. So Lord, we just pray for the rest of the congregation and the rest of the folk gathered here, Lord, all of us together. We just thank you for tonight. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your truth. And help us live out what we've heard or been a part of today, Lord. Just bless all the ministry leaders. Bless everyone here who's engaged in working for you, Lord, both secularly and as part of your church here. Just bless them, Lord. Help them, and especially help those who have gone away knowing that they need a prayer but just weren't able. And that's fine, God. You go with them. You go with them, Lord. So just bless the tea and coffee and the welcome and the rest of the week in Jesus' name. So we're just going to pray for folk here. There's going to be tea and coffee at the back. Tim maybe is just going to sing a few worship songs from the front. If you are part of the ministry team, please come forward and pray with folk. And lastly, thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. And a real blessing for you in the coming week. Thank you.
Of His mercy, deep cries out to the deep. your heart in the streams of life, that the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. He cries out to thee, we sing, come, Lord Jesus. Washed away in the rays of His mercy, as His deep cries out to thee, as He cries out to thee, as He cries out to thee, Lord, we sing, oh, change our lives, Lord. Won't you come? Make us new, God.
Just meet us, God.
recognize it's you, God. To come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and taste and see the Lord is good. Come and taste and see the Lord is good. The invitation is open. The invitation is open for us to come and taste and see. Trust you, God.